This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 668 with guest Oscar Hedaya, recorded on January 22nd, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studio here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. Oscar, we were talking about that in the pre-show. You're in the Miami area. We're buckling down for a winter storm. Are you guys getting buckled down there in Miami or not?
I think we're buckling down for the beach this weekend.
Ah, that's disgusting. That is just terrible. I appreciate it, though. I appreciate the honesty. Yeah, are you thinking like sunny in 75? Is that where Miami's going
to
be?
I actually just pulled it up, and this is going to be 79 on Saturday, 81 on Sunday, 82 on Monday.
Oh boy.
Everybody's welcome to come down before the storm.
Bentonville, Arkansas is going to get like 18 inches of snow. I think Nashville is buckling down for a foot. Boston and New York, still kind of unclear, but they're going to get hammered. Everybody, make your way to Miami. The bars are open, right, from that standpoint?
So true.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, we'll post the show with some world-class show notes, and we'll have a few out there for the show out there at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscriber as well. If you're on that Patreon team, thanks for doing that. Many of you have been on it for many years. And if you want to join that team, you can head over to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And then don't forget, if you're purchasing over there on Amazon, we've got just a built-in affiliate link on the site. Click on it. Doesn't cost you anything. We'll get you that. That'll help out the network. So I appreciate when you guys do that as well. But Oscar, while we have you here, let's get started. Who you are. Like, you're an entrepreneur at heart. I know you've been doing a lot. You've been doing some other startups in the past, and you're coming to the safe world from that. But give us a little background on you just so we get to know you a little bit.
Yeah. So Space is the third startup that I've been involved in. The first one was touchscreen gloves about, I think, like 14 years ago. Then I ended up doing electric mobility, which is electric skateboards, electric scooters, so like the Limes and the Birds of the world. Yeah. This was all like every business that I was involved in was actually at the beginning phase, where when I was doing the scooters, I don't even think Lime existed at the time. And I remember that somebody in our company said something that we should do something like that. He's like, we should make where people could rent them out, like the scooters, and do it by like a minute or 5 minute increments. And I remember thinking, like, I don't know if that's such a great idea. You
know, like, oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
You know what, though? That idea was rough at first. Like, you may have been reading the tea leaves correctly, because that scooter idea took a while. Like, they tried it. And we have those scooters all around Omaha, and they just end up everywhere. Like, I see, as I'm driving in, I drive through downtown Omaha to get to work. They're everywhere. In the mornings, they're just everywhere. And it's,
wait,
like,
you're saying in the winter that they're still there?
I see them all over. Yeah, I see them. Well, winter's gotten mild here in Omaha, and they just leave them out, right? They're available. Folks can ride on them. We've had some nice weather over the last couple weeks. Yeah, I see them strewn all over they just end up on sidewalks and whatever. And I kind of wonder, are people still making money off these things? I assume they're going okay, but you could have got into that space. You didn't, or you did maybe a little bit.
Could have. Never went into that. We sold them to retailers and D2C as well. So if you went into like Best Buy, Costco, Walmart, anywhere, any retailer I would have said out loud or that you're thinking of, we were most likely there.
Okay.
I think they make money because it's, they're spending less than $1,000 on one of these scooters. And I think after like a year or two, they recoup their money. So I think it's one of those kind of things that they make money on. But upfront, the cost upfront is crazy.
You know? Well, the technology got a little bit better. Batteries have gotten a little bit better, right? The app space has gotten a little bit better. And I think, before the pandemic, folks weren't into it. And then it seems like post-pandemic is where it's really taken off for whatever reason. Again, I'm seeing them. We're Omaha, Nebraska, like a million people here, right? It's not Miami, Florida, right? This is Omaha, Nebraska. We have two companies that are competing for you know, scooter space.
Yeah.
And mostly in the downtown area. It seemingly works. I just kind of keep waiting for them to just disappear at some point and be like, yeah, it didn't work.
They work. I mean, especially depends where you go in the world. I mean, I've been to some places in Italy. I mean, they're in Milan, Italy. Oh, yeah. And they work fantastic. Yeah. I mean, because an Uber is expensive, you know, so it's much cheaper to get around with scooting and you don't have to worry about traffic. I mean, you go around. It's really,
you know, you might see this in your space as you've added an app to a safe, right? We're going to talk about that here in a second, but I almost kind of feel like as folks have gotten older and the acceptance of everything being done on an app. This is the crazy thing. I mean, I think it was the pandemic that kind of divided that. I felt like we had some apps, some websites, not everybody was using apps. It was there was good adoption in the app space, but I felt like the pandemic drove everybody to apps. And then post-pandemic, it's like, no, you have an app for every. I mean, I have permanent lights on the outside of my house that are run by an app. Right. Kind of deal. Right. Everything. I don't go to a website to configure it. I go to an app ticket. They don't even have a website anymore. Do you get that feeling in the app space that we've made that cut over?
You know what? Yes, I think so. And what I found more, and this is probably why as well, I find that people don't buy computers as much and people may have iPads or tablets. Right. And I think that has replaced the computer.
Yeah, for sure.
I could be wrong, but I think that
I think you're right. Well, we're seeing this in PC sales numbers. I mean, there's still PC sales numbers are still up from a corporate standpoint, but very few people are buying their own computer anymore. They have their phone and their maybe a computer.
You're not buying one at your home. You don't need one for your home anymore.
No. You might have a Mac. You know, you might have a laptop. Maybe. You may have an iPad. My wife just got an iPad for Christmas. She's on that thing all the time now, right? Doing gaming on the iPad. So. I think we've cut over for the most part in the app, everything has an app. It frustrates me because I live in an office with 11 monitors here. Yeah. I mean, I have 11 monitors on my desk. I like visual real estate. And then all of a sudden everything moved to this, you know, and you're like, guys, it's not very big. But I think it's just a reality, right?
I have an iPhone mini, the real estate is really small for me. So.
Yeah, no, right on. Well, let's talk about safes because I was surprised when you guys reached out and said, hey, we'd love to come and talk about safes on Home Gadget Geeks. And I was like, there's things to talk about around the safe. Like safes have gotten boring and plain, right? I just did some estate planning. So we sat down. Got a lawyer, you know, I'm at that age starting to think about like, I got to pass things on to the kids, that kind of stuff. And we got all these documents and then I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to get a safe to put this stuff in. Right. Thinking from that standpoint. And so we started looking at them and, you know, the retail big box Home Depot, Lowe's stores where you can buy those today. They're fairly inexpensive. They're pretty bulky. They're pretty ugly. And they're kind of boring. What made you think you could possibly reinvent safes from a technology perspective?
So I've actually been in product development for almost 15 years now. I've developed a ton of different products. I'm a product guy. I mean, I walk into like the Apple store and I think of like 100 different ideas. And it's funny because I was talking with my sister today. I'm a WhatsApp user. Mm-hmm. And I love WhatsApp because you have a lot more features and options and people in the US hate it, but it is what it is. For me, it's really great. And we were talking about WhatsApp and she's like, wow, you really utilize every single feature that WhatsApp has to offer. And my response was, yeah. And you know what's crazy? They're coming out with new features like probably every month now on WhatsApp, but they're features that I was thinking about like 10 years ago that I said, they need this. They're missing this. So to answer your question, you know, I'm a product guy and We had theft in the house, and it made me look for a safe. And I was looking around, and I was like, "Wow, there's really like this. The stuff that you can get out there today really kind of stink, you know." like you're saying, like,
I mean, it kind of works, but it's boring.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not like they're not pretty.
No.
Unless you're spending like $10,000 or $5,000, they're not really so secure. Like the ones that you could pick up on in like Walmart or Target or Home Depot or Costco. I mean, they're okay, you know? And I said like, hey, how could we make this better? And I thought of like, for myself, what would I want? And living in 2020 at the time, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, we could turn on light bulbs with a mobile app,
right.
And you could turn on your oven from like the beach. You could turn on your oven, which is like a half hour away from where you are right now. Like you have so many amazing features that you have with so many different products out there. And like, why doesn't a safe have some of these features? And that's kind of where I started, like my head started like coming together, and I started writing down all these amazing features that I wanted in my safe as a tech guy. And I ended up coming out with the Space Safe. You know,
talk a little bit about features. The folks can go out to thespacesafe.com, and I put that link in the show notes. It'll be it's in the chat as well. Folks wanted to go live with me. I'm showing some pictures on the video. If you're watching the audio, you come over and watch the video if you want as well. But what kind of features have you added? What are you most proud of as you think about the features you've added to this safe?
Yeah, so my number one thing is I said, hey, you know, I had a theft. If I was not home and somebody was trying to break into my safe, or if my housekeeper was playing with my safe, my number one thing is if I'm not home, I want to be notified if something's happening. That was my number one feature. It sounds so silly, you know, like it's so easy. And that's probably my number one feature. My number two feature was, how do I know if it's not like my dog just like jumping on the safe? And, at the time I had a dog, I don't anymore, but, really sorry. Somebody killed my dog. So, it's okay. That will be in the after contents, we could talk about it. But I said, how do I know if it's a human being or my dog or my housekeeper or a burglar? And so that's when I came up with the idea of having a camera. And, you know, again, we had like Ring doorbell. Ring doorbell existed, you know? And it's like, this is a no-brainer. And I said like, okay, the problem is if you're going to put a camera, I don't want to just stop there, you know? Safes, almost every safe has a digital keypad, which you like, you push these digits, these numbers, the keypad is like really junky. If you don't clean your hands before, eventually you get like oil marks on all the keypads.
People know your PIN by
people
the
know
mark.
Your PIN. Exactly. And then after that, you know, I said, instead of doing something like that, we could make it more secure and we could have a touch screen. And so I have a Tesla. I've had one since 2018. I bought one of the first Model 3s. And I said, and I remember like getting in the car and saying like, why doesn't every single product have a massive screen? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, how? Like, exactly, yes. Like we have these massive televisions that are 80 inches.
Yeah.
Obviously we've like, everything else should be following its lead. And so that's where I said, okay, we also need a touch screen on this safe. And so because of it, we have a ton of different features. It's not just like this keypad. You could set a pattern pin. You could set 2FA. You could set like 4-digit pin, 6-digit pin. We have forgot pin if like you're somebody who's older maybe and you forget your pins very easily. We have a forgot pin. You know, we have, I could sit here for hours and just tell you, I think the other thing also was we had a lot of customers who gave us feature ideas And because there's an operating system and a touch screen on the safe, we have software updates where we could just release new features. And we've done that. I think right after we came out with the product, somebody said, why don't you have a panic pin? And, you know, we asked them, how would you, usually when we get a feature request, we ask them like, how would you visualize this? What would you like to see specifically? Because you're the one who came up with this idea. It's very different if we're translating it just from like a headline. And this person said, if God forbid there is an assailant who has a gun to my head, you know, I'm obviously going to unlock the safe for them, but imagine if I could put the pin backwards. Instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, do 4, 3, 2, 1. It'll still open the safe, but it'll send out a message to an emergency contact, and they'll notify the police. So we came out with that feature. And a lot of other features have been because of our customers, which, yeah.
Yeah, lots more information on the site if you want to head out, peruse through that. We're looking at a picture right now. You know, this is almost a Netflix account looking screen. You know, I love the product because I told you I have 11 screens. I love screen real estate. Anything with a screen on it, you know, this is basically a giant A-Lady, you know, the Amazon device with the, you know, you got a screen on front. It's got four pictures of the people. It's like almost profiles, like, hey, exactly. Who's trying to log into this, right? Who's trying to see this? And so, you know, I appreciate that thinking it's more than just about one person getting into this. You might have, I think your site set up to four people. You can set pins for four.
Exactly.
And so it can be a variety, right, of folks having access to the inside of the safe.
Exactly. And so the whole reason behind it was, I remember when I first came up with the concept, I had actually done a little comp shopping, and I bought a safe from one of the best competitor that I have. And I remember setting up with my dad the safe, and we both did fingerprints, and I had no idea if his fingerprint enrolled. And then, I was like, does this guy still have access to my safe?
Right, right.
And then I didn't know how to delete it, and it was just a mess. And I'm like, but do I also have to give him my PIN code if I want him to have access? But I don't want to share my PIN code, you know? And that's when I started coming up with like, okay, how could we make this better? You know, so because we have a touch screen, we have an entire UI, and it's very interactive. And if you select the finger that you want, it shows like a visual picture of your hands, and you choose like, I want this thumb. And it'll say like left thumb. All right. And it'll tell you what's enrolled, what's not enrolled. That way you always know. And that's when we decided to add multiple users. And what we did was we have several different modes with the safe. And for the normal mode specifically, there's up to four. But if you have an enterprise, we have enterprise solution, which allows hundreds of different users if you want.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So that is a breakout. You can get more in there. Dan in the chat room is asking, let me see if I can get that to actually come up here. Why is that not showing? There we go. He says, is it fully functional without the app, or is the app required to make this work?
Yeah. So that was a great question. That was one of the things that when we first started developing, I said, we need to make sure that this safe works offline because it connects to the internet. But what if you don't? What if you don't have internet? What if you had internet and now you don't have internet? Or what if you have a cabin out like 100 miles away and you want to have it there? So we do have it offline. But of course, if you use it offline, there's just less features. So if you don't have the app, you're not going to get notifications. If you don't have the app, again, there's like some things that you could get with the app. With internet and without the app, you're able to get. And then there's some things you're going to be losing if you have no internet, no app.
Okay, that makes sense. 10 years ago, we had Jamie Siminoff from Ring on the program. And this was 10 years ago, it was pre-Amazon. He had just come off of Shark Tank, right? and had turned them down, which was crazy. And we were talking about, you know, the ring solution. And as you think about since those days, right, that was there was no subscription type stuff to that. And I'm a very avid ring customer now, and I've got their subscriptions and I'm kind of addicted to it. Again, I like it. From your perspective, are there some, as you look ahead on this, would there be access to camera subscription or subscription opportunities there for individuals thinking about being able to interact with this or work with it from a business perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. We already have all of that on our device. So we have live streaming free, similar concept to Ring. We have live streaming that's free. And if you want to have the video recording and access it at any time, then that's a monthly cost. Okay. And so live streaming costs us money, and the subscription actually subsidizes the live stream. So at the end of the day, we don't make any money with that. We just end up breaking even, hoping that enough people get a subscription that pays for live stream as well.
What about, we had, and I forget who this was now, but we had a security company that monitors, part of their subscription was to monitor those feeds and weed out the false alarms, right? You had said, like, I want to know if it's my dog or if it's really somebody, you know, breaking in or trying to break into my safe. Any thoughts about adding the capabilities of a live person looking at those feeds from a security standpoint?
We can. What we do have right now is we have AI that could tell if it's a human being or not. So when we have a motion sensor on our safe, the motion sensor will pick up if somebody's in front of the safe within, I think, like 50 feet or 30 feet. I don't remember what. I think it's 30 feet. It picks up if somebody's within 30 feet of the safe, and then the cameras turn on. The cameras turn on, and instantly it starts to see if it's a human being or if it's something else, to make sure it's not a cat, you know? You asked me another question. It's slightly different, monitoring. So we're a small company still, you know, we're still a startup, but the goal is, and I was telling you before, we're in the middle of raising now. Once we secure something, we secure a raise, then part of the plan is that we're going to hire a company that monitors, because we spoke about Panic Pin. Right now, Panic Pin, it goes to an emergency contact that you select. But the dream is that it'll go to somebody who's monitoring, and then the monitoring company will be able to review it and call the police on your behalf. That's the dream, and that's the long-term goal.
It seems like a natural conclusion, right? If you've got these, it's a very nice-looking device. For folks on audio only, you know, think about kind of its air fryer size. So it could sit on your kitchen counter if you want to have it there. Really designed, it's elegant. So it really is designed to kind of sit in an elegant space. You would be proud to have this safe. You wouldn't hide it behind a picture. Although they don't hide it behind a picture because it's ugly, right? There, put it behind a picture because they don't want anybody to know it's there, right? But it's an elegant safe, and I think that's a nice. By the way, Deep Sentinel was that organization that we interviewed that did this. They did something similar. They would use AI to limit what eyes actually saw it. So the AI would try to do a determination of should we let a human look at this or not, and then they handled when it got passed to the humans, like. And then they could get on the microphone and say, hey, we're watching you, you know. And I just think, boy, in your safe, you probably have that in a nice spot and be a prime place to be able to provide that kind of service for individuals as well.
So one of the things, you know, it's a little different for us, because part of what we have is we have a safe that's supposed to hold all your valuables. And we have a camera on the inside and a camera on the outside. And we don't want people to access outside you, the owner. We don't want people to be able to access, like, hey, what's inside the camera? You know, what's inside the safe, rather. Right. So we have, there's a lot of privacy that we have in the safe in terms of, and when I say in the safe, I mean in terms of the company, our company, what in the back end, what's stored. Over here, we don't have access to video footage. We don't allow it. It doesn't exist for us. So it only goes to the customer. So part of the problem, I guess, that we could have is if we hired a company to review footage, is we don't want them to have that footage. You know, we don't want them to know where you're storing your safe. We don't want them, you know, so that's kind of the only.
No, that's well thought out. I mean, I think because you sometimes you think about that, we get, especially on the tech side, we kind of want everything
everything.
Right? You want everything. And no, but I love the thinking of like, hey, actually the outside cameras would be the ones that we would want a company monitoring. Is there two on the inside? There's two cameras, right?
One on the inside, one on the outside.
Okay. So the one on the inside then would be super private. I mean, that makes sense. People are putting things in here that are super private to them, whether it's, you know, documents or you know, those kinds of things. We'll leave that out for now, but those items might be super private to them. So that kind of, you know, that kind of makes sense. Brian in chat says, I was driving and couldn't comment earlier, but I just wanted to comment that I love the backwards code feature to open the safe and alert authorities. That is very, very cool to think you could be able to quickly say, hey, this is a bad, it's a panic button, right?
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the other things that we plan to have over the next couple of months after we raise also is the development of panic buttons that actually connect to the safe. That way you could put them anywhere in your home. And even before you get to the safe, if you push that panic button, it'll essentially do the same thing. Not unlock the safe, but it'll send that emergency contact information that you're in distress.
Yeah, no, it's great. Send a 911 message to somebody, a silent 911, so to speak, right?
And by the way, I cannot take any responsibility for that feature because I didn't even come up with it. So he said it's a great feature. I had nothing to do with it. We just developed it. But
no, that's great. That's great. And what sounds like, though, this would be a perfect device to be really listening to your users, right, who are getting this. And there aren't a ton of these out there. Again, when I started doing a little research on this, I was like, yeah, there's really not a lot in this space. And so I think you've got some runway on this to kind of get out ahead of it, develop in it. You know, you're kind of limited on the number of size units that you have available right now because you're trying to build this thing out.
Right.
What are your thoughts? Do you dream about having bigger screens and bigger real estate and bigger areas for folks to put their stuff in?
Yeah. So my background is actually in like scaling companies. So yes, all of that has already been thought out. We have 5 different designs of safes, different sizes, that we plan again, once we finish a raise, probably within 18 months of completing our raise, we'll end up having those, safe sizes. But one of them is actually designed it about a year ago. The thing is absolutely gorgeous. It's big. It's made to, it was after we went to a gun show that, or maybe right before we came up with the design. But so the idea, and again, whoever can't see the safe, right, was only listening to audio before. The idea behind it is it's not supposed to look like a safe. It's supposed to look like anything else, you know? So you want to kind of deter anybody who may be breaking in to know like, hey, that's my safe. And obviously now that's more possible, but in 10 years, if we sell a billion of these, everybody's going to know. But we have designed a gorgeous, beautiful safe. It has a bigger screen. It's bigger safe. It's like, it's a heavy duty safe. It was really made with the idea of having like rifles in a safe.
Yeah. Well, a gun locker, gun safe would be perfect for this, right? And so you could scale that out, figure out what's the right size screen on that. It wouldn't need to be the whole size of the safe, right? But it would give you a little bit more real estate. Okay, speaking of feedback, Dan Lefebvre in the chat, he's got a suggestion for you. He says, since there can be multiple users, can the same user be set up on multiple safes in different locations? is there a concept of, you know, we live in a home server space. A lot of the folks that listen to the show, we talk about home storage and backups and some of those kinds of things. Some people take their backups to their, you know, their father-in-law's house, set up the backup, and then they have remote access to it. Thoughts of having two safes, maybe in either same or different locations, having one account across those safes?
Yeah, so we actually have that. That's exactly what we have. We have the ability where whenever you're setting up a safe, you for the first time, you could actually import a user. So if you created an account before and you already have an account on the mobile app, it'll show you that first safe. And if you want to set up the second safe, you just scan the QR code and it'll bring over a lot of that information. It will not bring over a PIN because all that stuff is encrypted. We don't have access to that in our system. Again, like I was saying before, that's locally encrypted. So you would actually have to set up some of the things again yourself. And the idea is you have to import each user because you don't want the same users. Like, for instance, you may have a hideout and you don't want your wife to have access to that safe. You know, maybe that's your own safe. So, you know, it's not importing all the same four users that you had on the first safe. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe in some situations, even in a single house, you might have a family secure area, and then you have an adult secure area, right? And so you want to make sure you can manage those two areas. Or you're talking a vacation home, right?
Yes.
We were talking in the pre-show, you know, a lot of snowbirds come down to Miami in the winter, right, to be a part of the what's going on down there. And so maybe your vacation home has one, and you've got one, and then they match each other, but you'll got to go down and set those up. This audience would understand the encryption, the local encryption, more than anybody, right? That's super important that you're not moving that encryption across the network so that it's out there in the clear or it's there for somebody to pick up, right? I mean, we know things get hacked. People find things. The more local you can keep those kinds of things, the better. The one thing I wanted to on the site, and you had put something on the site that I found very interesting as a use case, is in an Airbnb. And I hadn't thought about this, but the last time, you know, you go to an Airbnb and then you kind of call and then there's some instructions and there's a key and a code and some kind of things to get in. But to have a safe in the Airbnb that's designed specifically for people that are staying there. And then I'm assuming as a user, if I own the house, I'd be able to set up temporary PINs or temporary access so that those people coming into the Airbnb would only have access to it, or maybe the cleaning people who come in and do the Airbnb, that's their place to pick up things. I don't know. Have you seen much of that in the sales or in the folks that you're working with?
So I know in the beginning I spoke about different modes, right? We have like an enterprise mode. One of the modes is Airbnb mode. So, right, you have two situations where if you own a home and you want to leave stuff in your safe and then leave that in the Airbnb that you're renting out, that you would end up using the normal mode. But if you wanted to offer to your guests the safe to use, right? Because that's really where the idea came from for Airbnb mode. Is I remember staying in an Airbnb. I think I was paying like $300 a night. You know, you could stay in a hotel for that price. And there was no safe. You know, and I'm like, where am I putting my passport? Right. Where am I? Like, I had $1,000 in cash maybe at the time. You know, and I said, I'm just going to leave it out, you know, and that's where the Airbnb mode came up, the idea came up with. And so I said, it would be great if you have, as a host, you purchase a safe, you keep it in the apartment or whatever you're renting out. And then in that Airbnb mode, guests on their own can come in and set the date that they're staying for. You know, so if it's a week, 2 weeks, and eventually that'll connect to an API with Airbnb or VRBO or whatever you're hopefully, I mean, you're going to end up using. But in the beginning, for now, it's all manual, where you set your date and you say, okay, I'm staying here for one night, 1 week. And when you're in, the host no longer has access to your safe. So as a guest, no one else can access your safe except for you. We have, and the host actually has 24 hours where they could approve or deny this. And whatever, there's a lot of other, but the idea is, you know, if I'm staying in this, not hostel, if I'm staying in this Airbnb and I leave something in the safe and I leave and go for lunch, you know, a lot of these Airbnbs, they use the same codes for every user that's staying in there. Yes. You know, so if you stayed, Jim, if you stayed there yesterday and, you know, you go in today, I don't want you to have access to my apartment or the safe. And so I set my own PIN. And if you go into the apartment and you try to get in, instead of getting a notification with the app, you actually get a notification like an SMS. So that's the only time, like hotels and Airbnb modes, those are the only time you're getting an SMS. So if somebody tries to enter an incorrect PIN, you'll get a notification. You'll get that right off the bat. And we also, again, we have forgot PIN for Airbnb users. You know, so if you set up, if you connected your phone in the beginning, which is, it's like two steps, you just put in your phone number, then verify the phone number with a with an OTP, one-time PIN. You know, that's who that's for.
Yeah, that's great. No, I think that's one of those use cases as Airbnbs have really begin to dominate in that space. That's one of those uses you go, yeah, of course. Yeah, providing a safe in an Airbnb. We don't think about that. We have them in hotels, but we don't, you know, we don't think about that. The other business I didn't really think about was maybe a lockbox for overnight. You know, more businesses are using digital, you know, funds, but a place to store cash overnight in a business as well, right? Lock that up, put it in the safe. It's got the employee. It's a different set of employees that come in the next morning. They might have their own. I'm assuming those access codes are logged too in some way, where it's somehow you know who's accessing the safe at some point in time, right? You can go back.
You kind of brought this up, I think, like 20 minutes ago, and I wanted to say something about it, and I ended up saying something else instead. Yes, one of the important things that we wanted was not only to have multiple users, but also to track the users. So there's a complete audit trail from the start of setting up the safe until till it could be 10 years, you still have an audit trail. You could see that on the safe, you could see that on the mobile app. And again, like you're saying, exactly, it tracks every single thing. So if somebody clicks, if you and I have the safe together, and somebody tries to log into gym, I'll get a notification and I'll see that, like, hey, Jim entered the incorrect PIN, you know? So it may not be important to me, but if you get that PIN code, if you get that notification, you'll be like, I'm not there. Who's trying to get in, you know?
Yeah. Well, from a business standpoint, I worked for banks for a lot of years, and an audit trail is everything. And so in that banking situation or in a money situation, right, you know, it's got a camera on the front. It's tracking who's putting the PIN in. So I have picture identification and the PIN. It's got an audit trail. So if I ever wanted to know who opened the safe in the morning to get the cash out, guess what? I have it, right? And that's a perfect situation. I mean, employees are going to sign. They know this is for security reasons, right? So now this becomes, and it doesn't necessarily look like a big, ugly, you know, in the bank, we had a big, ugly vault that is very obvious where the money was, right? But in this situation, it may look like a more elegant piece of furniture to the business that that may not appear to be a safe from that standpoint. Do you agree?
Yeah. I remember seeing. I remember hearing this. I think like 7 years ago in a TV show, somebody was looking for something and they couldn't find it, and she remembered that her father told her, like the best hidden things are hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
You know, like nobody's expecting to see a safe like in the middle of your kitchen. Example, you know, but
for our users, right? A lot of NAS users in our space here. So I'm talking to folks, they have their own, you know, they have their own home servers. They got a NAS device. It kind of looks like you have a door that opens up. I'm almost expecting to see some hard drives in there, right? Like it looks like a NAS device. It's glass. It has a glass front. And so it looks very elegant from that perspective. And of course the screen pops up. And you use that glass front for the screen space. So it looks good in that space. That's just one of those small business areas. This could, you know, suffice as a overnight cash vault to put things in, and then all the tracking is there, right?
Yeah.
To be able for them to be able to track it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I love tech. I think everybody here loves tech, but not everybody in the world loves tech, you know? And so we actually,
we don't understand that, by the way.
I don't get it. You know? And they're like, because they want less features. They don't want more features. Right. We love features.
Yes.
And so we actually, in the beginning, we had the setup was, it took like 15 minutes to do a setup. And I remember meeting with somebody and they're like, why is it so long? I don't want all these features. I don't want all these questions. And we set up like a quick setup, which takes like 3 minutes. You know, you just set a pin and like, that's it. But it made me realize that like, it's very important to have the options for people. And I think one of the things that like a lot of these smart home companies do wrong is you just set notifications on or off. But what we have over 44 notifications, and that's annoying depending on who you are. And so we have the ability to like turn off this feature, turn off that feature. Like I want to get notified if the door is left open. You could turn that on. You could turn on, I want to get notified if like somebody tries to tamper with this, where, you know, maybe not everybody wants to have every notification on. You could kind of turn that off. And we did the same thing with the safe as well. You know, like if you don't want certain options, you could turn certain options off. So that way it's more like, you know, it's more user defined,
customizable. Sometimes options equal confusion, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to weigh the balance, right? Of, I think folks who listen to Home Gadget Geeks are probably a little more prone to more options than less. Like we like to have control over those kinds of things, right? Sysadmins want to dig in and say, no, I want to get some granular permissions on this thing. But no, I understand there's this balance between setup and functionality. You want to make sure you're not overwhelming, your users, so to speak, and get them moving right away. Okay, I want to throw a crazy question at you. I don't know if you've ever been asked this before. You may say, "Oh, Jim, I
ask
got
away."
This. Right. We spend a lot of time thinking about crypto, cryptocurrency, crypto keys. We spent, you know, over the last 10 years, we've been talking about that on the show here. Any thought to adding any crypto or any digital safe capabilities? I know it's digital, right? But as I'm thinking about a safe, I'm thinking about, I want to keep the keys that I have. I want to keep them locked up in something or in a system that locks it up for me. That might have some, you know, in the old days of crypto, they'd say, make sure you print this out and put it somewhere. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, seriously, we have it now. We've moved on from that. We have YubiKeys and we've got, you know, different ways of securing those kinds of things. But from just a user standpoint, it would make sense to me if I could interface with this and store my digital keys there as well. Any thoughts on that from a future development standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, the answer, I'll be honest. You know, I told you in the beginning, I'm very transparent, honest. I don't understand. I don't understand that so much.
Okay.
You know, so okay. I would have to understand a little more about it before I could say yes. I guess the answer, I don't know. I mean, once I understand a little more about it, I could say yes. But
yeah.
I do want to say somebody asked us like 2 years ago if they wanted to have, I guess, a hard wallet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Inside.
No, right on. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, there you go.
They wanted to have that inside.
I'm
almost there. I'm not really. I'm probably 10% of the way there.
No, it's not as hard as you think. Oscar, it's not as hard as you think, but you're almost there.
Yeah, I just need to educate myself with it. But we have USB ports inside the safe, which could power up which could keep them powered on.
Yeah.
What else? They don't, like, yeah. And the ports inside, tell me.
the ports inside powered, right? I mean, the intent is if you had a device that you're going to have in the long term and you wanted to keep it plugged in, is that why there's USB ports inside?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. Like the idea is, I mean, one thing that we wanted to come out with as an accessory was going to be watch winders. And one of the things we wanted was to be able to plug it into the USB if you wanted to add this accessory.
Yeah.
And so, that was the idea behind
For folks who don't know, right, some watches wind based on movement, right? That's what you're referring to. So put that in there so it's getting some regular movement and the watch is staying live. That watch may sit in there for a long time. I mean, you think about somebody who's going to put it away. They only wear that watch for very special occasions. They're pulling that out. They want it working when they pull it out. And my dad had a watch like that. And every morning he'd come down like this and he'd shake his wrist for about 15 minutes. Then he was off to the races. I just remember him. I've gone to an Apple Watch, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. But I just remember, him shaking his wrist on that. I don't, Oscar, I think, you know, this crypto concept is an interesting one. I don't think it would be one that would drive you very far from a user adoption. It's pretty niche, right? I think, and we've, a lot of folks with the adoption of crypto mainstream are going on to Coinbase or whatever, right? Whatever they're treating it much like they're storing their password from that standpoint, or pass keys, of course, have become a very important part of what we're doing from a security perspective. So, but that was just one of those things I was thinking about, like, hey, if I needed to store my keys for a hard wallet, you know, in that case, right, something off of the internet, so to speak, that may be an opportunity for me with a QR code or something to store them. It's super niche, so I don't know if I'd look into it too much.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll educate myself a little more about it, and then I could let you know.
Might be interesting. The other thing I'll ask you on that, or the other hard one I'll ask you that's important to our community, is integrations with Home Assistant or with Alexa or with, oh, I shouldn't have said that, with the A Lady or with, you know, those, because we say that and it sets people off when they're listening to it, right? So when we think about home automation integrations outside of it, and I know, listen, security is paramount on this, but thoughts on that home integration?
Yeah, so here's what we have. There are about, oh my God, there was something else I wanted to say also before. You said, like, we're the first to market for this. Yeah, we're the first to market for this. We also have a patent out, so it helps us, and the long-term play is hopefully, you know, a large corporation buys us out and, you know, it's that's the hopefully exit in a couple of years, similar to how Siminoff did it.
Siminoff, yes. Yeah.
But wait, what was the question again? Man, what was the question?
Oh, integration with things like Amazon, the A-Lady.
Yeah. So there's about three other smart safes out there. What they do is probably 20% of what we do. Our biggest competitor is 20% in terms of tech and features. The next one is like 5%. So nobody is in the ballpark in the same game as us. But what they do have, a lot of these other companies, are they have a mobile app. And on the mobile app, you could click to unlock your safe, which it's great. You know, it's super convenient, but it's not secure. So we don't have that on our safe. On our mobile app, there is no way for a user to unlock the safe from the mobile app. The idea behind it is if you're with somebody and they take your phone, you don't want them to unlock it. That's number one. You also, if you're not by the safe, we don't want you to unlock it either. So we remove that whole concept out completely. Now, specifically to HomeKit and all the big players, the way we plan to have our connectivity on that is, if you do decide to set it up, it's just going to be a listener. That's it. So that way you can't do anything on your Google Home if you wanted to, you know. So it would just be just to see, hey, what's the status of the safe. In the beginning, we were a little hesitant to even say yes to that, because, again, it's a security device. You don't want...
Understandable.
It's a little different than, like, cameras on the home. You know, this is where you're storing your stuff. So, So the plans are to have that in there. We spoke to the developers in the company. When we spoke about it, they told us it would take, like, about 4 months to develop that out. And because of the limited features that you would get from it, and because you don't really want, for me, I wouldn't want my safe on my Google Home screen. You know, if I want to set my my thermostat, that's perfect. But So because it, you know, we were told it was about 4 months to do, we kind of put it on the back burner,
and we've
been just like releasing cool, better features instead.
No, sounds good. I just know my audience, and I know they'll ask, like, hey, what about integrations, on some of those products you mentioned, HomeKit or the Google Space or the Amazon Space or Home Assistant, are all those areas that are getting more and more popular. You know, home automation is a mess. It's gotten better, but it's still pretty messy in that space. And so I know they would ask those questions. Okay. Last question for you. As we kind of bring this in for a landing, then I'll give you a moment here for any final comments. When you think about it, you know, I'm assuming the folks that buy this safe are pretty engaged. They spent a little money on this thing, right, to get into it. They're probably pretty engaged and give you some feedback. Have you seen any really interesting things that they have said? And you can't see on the inside. Let's be real clear. You can't see what they're putting. But have they shared with you interesting things that they put into? Remember, it's a family show.
Yeah.
But have they shared with you anything? If you've seen anything interesting that they have shared with you that they're using this for? Or interesting use cases beyond documents, right? Or guns from that perspective.
Not really. You know, I mean, it's whatever you would think that you would put in one of these safes, you would put in there. I think you and I spoke before, and should I say that?
it's
a family show. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not. But I think people can guess since we're struggling to say these kinds of things. You know, personal devices for themselves.
Personal devices. I think if we say specifically a personal female device, that would be.
Hey, guys aren't left out of this area. I mean, there's personal devices.
Yeah, but you kind of get it a little more.
Sure, I think so. I think so. Well, but any of those safety devices too, right? So as we think about those, yes. But there could also be applications when we think about medications.
Yes.
Right? That has gotten to be a hot topic, right?
Yeah. So we actually have customers who are lawyers, doctor's offices, and specifically like for doctor's offices, they're not taking cash. You know, they're specifically putting for like medications.
That'd be great. Listen, your audit log for money is the same thing as your audit log for medications, right?
Yeah.
And so that'd be a great place.
Yeah, and what they asked specifically before they purchased from us was about the audit log specifically. For guns specifically, I just want to say we had a customer come in and before he bought our safe, he said he had a safe. And he had like a 10-year-old or 12-year-old. I don't remember. Yeah, this was last year. Sure. His 12-year-old was with a friend and they went into the safe and they took out the gun and he was showing the gun to his friend. And the only reason he knew was because like he saw the gun was like in a different place in the safe. And his son said something, you know, like, oh, I showed Eric or whatever the kid's name was.
Yeah.
And so this guy got like super freaked out and he told me like, your safe is perfect for this. You know, like I'll get a notification instantly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good reason to have two. So guns in one, ammunition in the other.
Yeah.
Right. Keep set different passwords, different PIN numbers, right? Different access points to it. Maybe, especially for family safety, right? I mean, we're jesting a little bit, but you can't, I mean, the number of fatalities or injuries that are caused every year by accidents associated with it is enough to kind of think, hey, this would be a really good safe for me, you know, for handguns, yes, to be able to lock those up, right? And listen, I think, you know, even in some of these areas of collectibles that are,
yeah, if there's, listen, value,
if you have any gold or silver in the last year, you might want to think about locking that stuff up. All of a sudden, it's gotten really valuable, and people are starting to eye those, you know, starting to eye those things or eggs. I mean, you know, that sometimes that works too. Eggs got really expensive, you know, a couple months ago. But some of those use cases, I think, are very, you know, are very handy. And then a very, I think, a very streamlined and easy tech solution for us folks to think, how do I want to secure these? How do I want to lock these up? Got an audit trail associated with it. I got somebody to keep track of it. I get to it on my phone. I can lock it up from a distance. I can see it from a distance, right? I'm assuming if I'm somewhere else, I can see inside. If I want to see, is that still in there? If I get that alert, I can jump on the camera and see who's in the safe, if it's open, those kinds of things, right?
Yeah, and the best thing also is, like, as an owner, so we have four users and we have three hierarchies. We have owner, administrator, and user. But so obviously this, because there's so many features, you could set different hierarchies and whatever. But one of the things that we also have, which, you know, we find important, is if you are away, and let's say you have a roommate, and you know, the roommate is your fault with the roommate, and you don't want the roommate to have access anymore to the safe, you could suspend the user. You know, there's a lot of different features around access that you could change from the mobile app or on the safe. You could also, specifically for, like, for businesses, we had somebody who asked us, they said, I have an office, and I don't know, remember if it was office or store, but they said, for the example, we'll say they had an office and they said, I don't want this employee to have access to the safe when he's not supposed to be in the store. So we also have, like, this time to access. And like I was saying before, we have a ton of features that we've gotten from our customers, which, like, we're so thankful for them. Yeah. Because they're making our product better, but we're also making the product better for them the way they want it, you know? So, I don't know if anybody ever has features that they want, if it makes sense, we'll roll it out.
TheSpaceSafe.com. You can check those out. All the pricing's available out there, the products, everything we've gone over, is available there. If you want to see some pictures of it, you can, you know, you can check that out as well. Oscar, thanks for spending some time. Anything else that we didn't say that we should have said, or a question I should have asked you that you want to kind of wrap this conversation with?
Does anybody else have questions before I answer anything?
I put a last call in chat, so I've been. I said, hey, last call, guys. So,
oh, sorry,
we'll
guys.
Okay. No, that's fine. We'll see if those come in. But any final thoughts from you on this? Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, I'll tell you this. You brought up Jamie Siminoff, and I actually, when we first started this, we actually, I remember hearing one of his podcasts years and years ago, and I got a lot of great ideas that I told the developers. You know, like, Jamie had this huge issue, because I remember hardware. Once you make the hardware, you ship it, that's it, it's out. And the software you could always update on the go. And I remember hearing on one of his podcasts that, like, there was a problem because the hardware was already created and they couldn't change something. And I remember, like, taking those use cases and going to my team and saying, like, hey, don't forget, this is a hardware product. Once it's shipped, you can't change it, you know? And you can have different, like, iterations, the same way, like, an iPhone every year comes out with a new iPhone. I mean, the name is still the same, you know, it's still iPhone. They're not changing, like, it's iPhone, whatever. You understand what I'm saying,
yeah,
but
I do.
You know, it's tough when you're doing a hardware product, and we hope we got it right, and we hope that, you know, if anybody here buys one, you know, that's great. We thank you very much. And if you have questions, if you need anything, let us know. You know, if it comes out in a future version or an OTA update.
Okay. Just have ways to upgrade. Just have ways to, you know, have some trade-in programs. Like, listen, all the folks listening to this show are first adopters. Like, we buy stuff out the gate. And then we're always like, they come, it's always better the second go around. The second or third version is always better. That's just the way it is.
I'm like you, you know, I remember buying the first of many things, and the first is great when you first buy it, but like the second model always is like, this is so much better, you know?
Yeah.
We've actually thought about doing a trade-in program.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we only have one, so it's too soon to kind of launch it.
For sure.
But definitely, I mean, it's something that we hope to have in the future.
We have spent a lot of time, or I've spent a lot of time in the last couple of years thinking about the backup battery space, right? The home batteries that work. And when those first came out, they were a lot of, like, they were super cool, and then they weren't. And they've, a lot of those have instituted ways to make that easy, I think, for the early adopters in some way. Just make it easy for them. They were your first customers, right? Make it easy to trade those things in when you do have more products, larger size, bigger, more features, some of those kinds of things, right? Let them be your influencers for
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this company is, it's a company made by tech for tech people for consumers, you know, I think it's so silly if like you can't do something like that, you know? So we're here for you guys long-term.
Appreciate that. Yeah. We buy tech, or I buy tech. It goes down into the basement, and I've got a rack server and some other things down here, all these things where I get to see it. If I bought one of these safes from you, I'd put it upstairs. It'd be sit on the entry room table, and it would look nice enough to be upstairs in the best place.
So you're going to love this. So we have, I know we're supposed to go, but
no, you're fine. You're fine.
We have like a display off timer. If you want to set it, you can. If not, it just stays on the entire time. And one of the things that we have is screensavers. We made screensavers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So one of the screensavers we have is a faux printer. And yeah. So again, faux printer, again, is one of those things that's that hilarious. We got from one of our customers.
Yeah,
he's like,
that's hilarious.
He's like, it would be great if you made a faux printer screensaver. I'm like, so we said, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And we have showed at like trade shows before, and people ask like, what's so special about your printer? You know, like if they're not getting it, then no one's getting it. So we have screensavers that are predefined, or you could upload your own picture if you wanted to. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was going to say pictures would be a good space to be in where you could load, you know, you got USB ports on the inside. So put a USB drive in there, load the pictures. Bob's your uncle. You're off with, you know, a screensaver. That's your pictures. The other thing I might consider, you know, I talked about the crypto space, but the other thing I might consider is the ability to put in some hard drive memory and make it a backup device, a hard drive backup device, right? Thinking like, you know, maybe I put a 2 terabyte SSD NVMe in the bottom, screw that thing in, it discovers itself on the network, and I could also back up and save, so to speak. This would fit the motif pretty well. Be able to do that. Any thoughts of digital backup in this, or digital storage?
Model 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not now, but you know, probably in like, and I hate to say this, I maybe in 2 years. And the reason I hate to say this is like, it sounds so crazy when you say like such a long time, but when you're developing hardware and you have other hardware products, you know, for us to release another safe size takes a couple months even though, you know, the software is kind of plug and play, it's just the hardware has to be developed to match that.
No, for sure. And there's other problems, you know, anytime you add in another technology to it, and that's maybe not your, you know, the core competency isn't making a network connection to a hard drive. And then what software do you put on top of that? Like, how do you do that? Do you open source that? Do you, you know, your core competency is really a safe, right?
Yeah.
And so we want you to stay in that space. Dan Lefebvre says out in chat, he says, very cool device. Thank you for taking the time to share this info. And then Brian says, I echo that. And
thank you guys.
Thank you. Exciting product. Yeah. No, this fits in our ecosystem very, very well from a home gadget. I mean, you've basically taken a safe. And I know there's a few others doing this, but you guys are doing it. Yours is the best. Looks the best.
Thank you.
But it's it really makes a nice looking device. It turns a safe, what may be an ugly thing that you try to hide, into something you put out right in front. Oscar, thanks for taking a few minutes. Can you hang around with me? I'll close this up,
of course,
and we'll do a little post show. Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah. So, and thank you guys. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, truly. You bet. A couple of reminders on the way out. If you want to, join our Discord group, if you want to jump in there and continue this conversation even further, I have put the links to all of these in our Discord group. You can head out to theaverageguy.tv/Discord, and then don't forget theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. You know this, Christian. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. MapleGrovePartners.com. Christian was on last week. If you haven't listened to that, as soon as you're done with this one, go back and listen to that one. And Oscar, we spent some time talking about smart outdoor lighting. Have you... You know, you ever hung your Christmas tree light or your Christmas house lights, the lights on the house up, and then you got to take them down again or they rot out there? We spent some time last week talking about, have you done the new generation of lights on houses yet? Everybody's, all the cool kids are doing it.
You know what? So my brother, his company actually deals with a lot of that smart lights and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah. It's, I think it's called Mercury, his company. Yeah.
Okay. There's a bunch of them out now. Govi, LaPro, like
this Genie, is the new Genie. That's a Genie.
Yeah,
okay.
They make, you know, tons of them coming out of China. But this is kind of my neighbor got it, and LaPro reached out to me, and they're like, hey, you want to put these on your house? And I was like, give it a try. This new generation of lighting, it's easy,
and it's so easy.
Talk about an app and they have AI built into the app that you just say, you speak into it 4th of July, and then it just goes red, white, and blue, and you just pick which one you want, right? I mean, it's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff is out there. Well, we are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. I want to thank those who came out. I saw Brian and Tony and Dan out there tonight. You can join us live as well. Come out and do that. You know, we're here. We never go anywhere else, and so we'd love to see you live on these Thursday nights. Come out and join us. Oscar, thanks again for joining us. Thanks for everybody who joined us live. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Stay warm.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, Oscar, we're officially in the post show at this point. We won't go too long for you. I know you gotta get back.
Honestly, I have nothing. Whatever you want, I'm yours. Okay.
Let me ask you one more question, right?
Yeah.
And maybe this will morph into a few. While we were name dropping, by the way, Jamie Siminoff was so gracious with us to come on us. You know, he wasn't giant yet, but when he came on, they were still kind of emerging, and he was just gracious. He's a great guy. He was incredible.
I've tried to get connected to him. I couldn't.
He
find
won't
a
talk
way
to me anymore. I've tried a couple times. Like, hey, remember when you came on Home Gadget Geeks? And I get nothing from him. You know, Jamie, you were talking about, you know, building the company up and then having somebody purchase it. Of course, that's where Ring went. But we also had Wade Foster from Zapier. I don't know if you're familiar with the Zapier.
Zapier's brand, great also. Yeah.
Right? We had Wade about 14 years ago, early on. They had just graduated from Columbia. They're in Missouri. And they were, you know, they were just launching Zapier on that. Wade still CEO after 14 years, they're growing that company into something. Would, you know, hey, don't give up on it too early, Oscar. It might last a little longer than you think.
Honestly, the dream between me and you is like, if I do sell the company, let's say 5 years for $500 million, not million, yeah. $500 million.
Go big. Yeah. Yeah.
But you can, by the way, because you take like Century Safe, for instance, and Century Safe, I think they sold like 15 years ago for $120 million, you know, and those safes are like $50, $100, $200. Right.
Right.
So, you know, with a higher revenue product, I think it's totally achievable. But the dream is, if I sold it, I wouldn't want to sell 100%.
Oh, okay.
You know, like I would sell 80%, 90%, but I would love to keep like a small percentage just to see like what happens over time with, why not, you know?
For sure. Yeah. I don't know how any of this works because I'm a corporate guy, so I don't do, but could you go public at some point?
Absolutely.
I mean, could that be an option?
Absolutely. So in our pitch deck, it's one of the things that we put out, you know, like we would love to sell in 5 years to like Ring Doorbell, or who's Amazon now, or Nest, or
you just sell right to Amazon.
Yeah. that's the dream, you know, but because at the end of the day, like anytime you bring on an investor, the only thing they're thinking about is, when am I going to 10X this? You know, when am I going to 50X this?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we say is, we totally go public on the NASDAQ, you know, on the stock market.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Any thoughts of home security because the safe, it's the hub of home security.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. You're asking about like having other home security products. Is that what you're asking?
Or versions of your own that get installed, you know, they get branded yours. This is, you know, listen, the cameras and the devices, the security, it's commoditized at this point.
It's commoditized.
They're all just commoditized, right? So you white label or do your own from that standpoint, but the safe becomes the hub. You got a lot of great software in that. I don't know.
Thank
thoughts
you
on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Completely. It's part of our our long term goal. The first 3 years are going to be just safes. Then when we are like solidified as like the best safe, the most advanced safe, then after that we're going to go into the rest of the home security industry.
Yeah, I think that's a great, because I think you get more people interested in home security, or you get a different crowd in the home security space. And then when we think about door locks, like those have gotten giant over the last 10 years. Though I have an old door lock kind of last year before everything went smart. It's just got a pin pad. You can kind of program it, but you got a pin pad on the back door. So I can do that. I haven't put the smart ones on there, but man, the smart door locks have gotten the August and some of those brands have gotten so good. Again, I could see that as a space beyond cameras and sensors, those door locks, right? Controlling those door locks as well.
100%. You hit it on the ball. And so we didn't really talk about the name of the company. It's called Space. And the reason I named it Space, it took me about 8 months to come up with that name. And the reason we name it Space is because this is like your space, your personal space. And so everything that is going to come, every product that you're saying is going to encompass your personal space. And that's the idea of it. So that's just like a small little preview into what you could imagine products that we're going to come out with.
So you have the Space safe, and then you would have the Space door lock, the space camera, the Space, you come up with better names.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the idea, right?
That's the concept. Okay. And then if you go, so everybody has their own individual website, but then if you go to Space, eventually, you know, we'll buy space.com or some whatever we're thinking.
Yeah.
But when you go to the main Space site, you'll see all the products.
It
has everything to do with your home.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. It's a great idea. Okay, I have a crazy security idea for you. I've talked about this on the show before. This is where it gets a little nonsensical, but I want to get your approval or denial of this.
Yeah.
From my security device, what I really want, and longtime listeners have heard this a couple times, I beg for it. Nobody's created this yet, but let me run it by you. This is the pitch. I'm now pitching you on this. Okay, here's my pitch deck. So what I want is, when my cameras or my security system sees something's happening, I want a drone that's in my backyard to come out of a box and shoot up into the air, right? Just take off into the air and start immediately filming, looking for, you know, flying around my property to see what's going on around my property. What do you think? Does it have any legs?
Does it have any legs?
No, pun
okay,
intended.
So I'm gonna tell you something that we have in like in our roadmap for the future, right? So one of the things, and how public is this?
Do you want it to be public, or do you want me to like not make it public?
You know what? Could we take it off public and then you tell me if I should put it on public or not?
Yeah. We'll decide. We'll figure it out in the post show. We'll figure out what we're going to do.
Okay. So. Yeah. So we had where we.
So we have, I don't want you to get in trouble with your friends.
No, it's okay. One of the things that we plan to come out with is if somebody tries to steal the safe, or like really it's like a real intruder. And I was telling you this before, that we have the AI that like could see what somebody's wearing and could distinguish like what, you know, if they're a real person, if they're a fake person, if they're a real person who's not the owner, you know, all that kind of stuff. But as we continue to develop that out, one of the things that we hope to have is a system. And we've seen something like this somewhere, and that's why I don't mind so much saying it, but where, you know, you put it up on the ceiling and it's like it's a fog, like smoke fog. Shooter
machine. Smoke machine
that's made specifically for intruders.
Okay.
And it'll kind of shoot the intruder.
Oh.
And so
okay.
Yeah, and so you know, when you're talking about your drone idea, does it have legs? I think it does, but I think you need a little more to it. You know, I think
A little more. Are you saying like a little more threat to it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. A little more like get the F out of here. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Like if you had the drone where it came out and it started almost like a robot and like said like, and it had a recording or something that said like, "You're get off my property," you know, and then it starts following the person, and then you have like a gun sounds like
maybe like rubber bullets or something.
No,
or
just the sounds.
Just the sound.
Just the sounds. And whoever this is going to start running and running and running for his life.
You might be
you
right.
You know, and that is right. Where, you know, you end up having where it could make a little more sense.
Yeah. This is kind of the deep sentinel idea, whereas they have a voice come on and say, "Hey, we're watching you. Move away from that. Step away," right? Move away from that, get out, some of those kinds of things. Yeah, I imagine that could be. Yeah.
Right. If you use the drone as like a more another scare tactic. And I'll tell you this, by the way, Jim, if in 2 years, you know, we want to come up with this idea together, we can. Yeah. And you can get royalties on this.
You can have it free. You can have it free. I don't need.
You know, even free, I would still give you royalties.
Okay. Just credit.
You wouldn't expect it. And then all of a sudden you start getting these checks in the mail.
Just send me one to test. I'll be perfectly fine. I'll be perfectly fine with that. Yeah. Early on, I've had this idea for about 5 or 6 years. And when I first started talking about it, drones were getting popular. People were like, "No. No." I'm like, "But wouldn't that be cool? Box opens up, drone just shoots out, you know, shoots out of there and then starts rotating around the house to see." I like your addition. You're co-creator on this. I like your addition of it shouting things at the person to scare them even more. I like
that. Yeah. And if if you put in like bullets or something, little pellets in the drone, it takes it even further. That's
maybe
even better.
Wads or something, so it does. It's not, but just so they get hit with.
We don't want to kill the guy.
No, you don't. you wouldn't want
him
to go awry.
Him to go to prison. Okay, also, yeah, that's true.
I would just be afraid. In the military, you know, I worked when I was in the military a long time ago. I worked a lot around the M1 tank, which was brand new in those days. It had just been out for a couple years, and inside the tank are Halon devices that, if the tank catches fire, the tank is worth more than the people inside, right? So the Halon deploys and puts out the fire. But that's that same kind of thing. You got to be really, really careful when you're putting security devices in your house. They have to have, and there were safety upon safety upon safety for those Halon devices. In fact, there was a whole group of people, and their specialty was just to maintain those Halon devices that were there. So nobody got hurt, right? And I think in the safety world, like, that's one of those things, you got to be careful. I would be the guy that would forget to put the password in, the backward password, to shut off the device. And then I would get stunned or shot with rubber bullets.
Yeah, but if we have the AI, the AI camera that knows that you're an intruder,
you're good. Oscar, there's a lot of nights, I'm a big fan of a hoodie and a hood. Like, when I don't just wear hoodies down, I come down here at night, I drink whiskey, and I put the hood up. My whole family knows, had a few whiskeys when the hood is up, right? I wouldn't want the hood up to get interpreted by AI as an intruder, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you may just want to be in incognito mode. By the way, I just want to say, I don't know if you know this, but Ring, and I don't even know if it's a real product, but, like, I think it was 2 years ago, they came up with a ring camera that was a drone that would come out and just like a sentry.
I told Jamie that idea.
He would go all around. I'm going to look for it, and I'm going to email it to you.
Yeah.
Because I saw it. I saw it because we were showing in CES, and I was like, that's pretty darn cool. You know,
that would be, I think that'd be great security. Like, you'd get an alert on your phone. I mean, I get Ring alerts on my phone. Listen, I live in a great neighborhood, and I've never had anything ever show up on my camera that I'd ever be worried about. It's more like I check the driveway camera to see if the kids are home or my wife's home or some of those kinds of things, right? But I always thought that'd be a good drone application, is home security. And it doesn't need to be flying all the time, but when it detects something, and then it could come, like, you know, we have these robot lawnmowers. When it's done, so it flies around. If it doesn't see anything, it comes back to base and then just recharges. It's like a
sentinel
robot lawn. Yeah, same kind of deal, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to send it to you. I think you'll love it. Because the truth is, like you're saying, I mean, the cameras are they're static, right? You put it here, it stays there. You're not going to be able to see there. You're not going to be, you know?
Right.
To be able to go into other rooms, it's really...
It's a fisheye. So, you know, yeah, it's getting 180, but it looks weird.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what's changing in this space is the pet cameras. Like, they've gotten really good. All these pet cameras during and post COVID, right? Because everybody got pets during COVID. Yeah. And then post COVID, everybody was like, I want to see my pets. For those that had to go back to work. And so that camera space has gotten a lot better, but still, yeah, you know, you still like it. And sometimes I've got a camera for our backyard, and when the dryer comes on a cold day, the steam comes up and fogs up the camera, and then I got no vision in the backyard. You know, not that I need it, right?
Yeah,
it's perfectly fine back there. But I think in some of those areas of home security, right, it doubles for me as also, like, I have one in the garage just so I can see if the garage door's down or not. Like, did I forget to put the garage door down?
Yeah. I've had that also, because you have an old school. So I had a garage opener that was like a remote through my brother's company that I was telling you. And there were times I'm like, wait, did it close? Did the garage door close? You know, like, you can't always trust just a sensor. Like, sometimes you want also a visual. So,
it gets caught on something, or something falls down on the sensor. And so it doesn't go all the way down. Or listen, 99% of the time I'm a block away and I go, did I shut the garage door? Like, it's me. It's not anybody else. I'm not looking for anybody else. It's me. Did I shut the garage door? And I could quickly check the garage door opener app, which is not well written. Like, so it's much easier just to go to the Ring cam, check the garage door. Is it open? It is. Then I can go back to the app, hit the garage door, or Home Assistant, hit the garage door kind of thing.
Did you have, so I have a Tesla, and I set up my Tesla whenever, so I used to live in New Jersey, and that's where I had a garage. And so when I would leave the garage, I would set it where, if I drive like 50 feet away from the garage sensor, then lock it, then like send it down.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Mine won't do that. I don't have that kind of capabilities to do it. But as you were saying that, it made me think of, as I've been doing this outdoor lighting, I was watching on YouTube of this individual put some RGB lighting, strip lighting around their garage. And whenever they pull up and it sensed the vehicle,
would
turn on those lights around the garage
door. That's hot.
And isn't that cool?
That's hot.
Yeah. And then drive in and shut the garage door. And it just looks, I mean, that looks really good, right?
Yeah.
Just around the door frame.
By the way, I'm picturing it. So I feel it.
Yeah. Well, then the lighting's gotten so good, you could set it for a sentry mode, right? Okay. Be off during these times, but come on when I'm doing this. Or if you want to do a dance, you want to do dance mode, or you're having a
July 4th.
You're having a party on your driveway. It's July 4th, right? You're doing those kinds of things. You can set them to, you know, you can set them to that. Dan Lefebvre out there says, he goes, I have a camera in my garage just for that reason, to see if it closes. And Brian says, same here. Yeah, this is the audience, right? You can shake a feeling of unknown that I closed the door. You just left it, friends. But how often that muscle memory of hitting the button or whatever, and then you're like, I get to the end of the street, and I'm like, did I shut my garage door?
Yeah, because exactly. You're always, I mean, you leave your home at least once a day.
For sure.
You know, and like usually when you're leaving your home, at least in the morning, you're rushing to your office. You're like, there's so much going on. You're overwhelmed. Your brain is overwhelmed. So I'm not surprised it happens to all of us.
No, for sure. And even sometimes I'll get an alert at work that my wife's leaving. You know, I'll get the garage door sensor. I get the camera. Hey, somebody's in the garage. So I'll just, you know, I'll take a quick peek. Then I'll see her leave. And then I'll just double check. Hey, did she shut the door? You know, I'll check and see. Did that door get shut?
This is something that I love about that we live in such a connected world. You know, this is why you need an app for everything. It's because like you need to be notified of every single thing. I think
sort of. It can get a little carried away. Where I work, I have.
You have the toothbrush? Do you have the toothbrush?
I have it. No, I don't have the smart toothbrush. But we have a guest who has reviewed those, and they tell you how long and the pressure that you're using. Right? Do you use the smart toothbrush?
I had it, and I was using it in the beginning for like the first like 3 months, and then I wasn't using it as much. Wasn't using it as much, mm-hmm. but it's good.
No, it's
not needed. It's a nice to have, not a need to have.
Yeah. Well, okay. For me though, here's what would be helpful. I like to kind of grind my gums. I'm aggressive toothbrusher.
Don't do it.
I like to just don't do that. No, and I've learned to lighten up on the toothbrush. Right. I had to. My dentist was like, "Hey, friend, you can't get you're going to scrape the enamel off of your teeth. Like stop doing what you're doing." Right. So some of those toothbrushes, they'll have a pressure sensor, right? And they'll tell you, "Hey, you're pushing too hard."
They'll go
and
red.
That would actually be. That would actually, for me, now I've learned, I actually hold my toothbrush in a way where I can't, I almost hold it like, an English cup of tea so that you can't, you can't do that kind of deal. You can't really bear down on it. But this is where the smart stuff really comes in with the pressure sensor to be like, "Hey, you're pushing a little too hard." And sometimes I'm in a hurry. It's night. Maybe I drank too much, and I just brush my teeth haphazardly. They've got toothbrushes that'll tell you, "No, you know what? You didn't cover you didn't do the whole thing."
Yeah,
like, you know, that's crazy.
It was a little wrong. Sometimes I would do this. So it has quadrants, right?
Yeah.
And like they say, do the front, the back, the top.
Yeah.
But like sometimes I would do the top and it wouldn't say that I did the top. And then like I would have to push harder. But you're not supposed to push harder.
No, you're not.
So so that's when I kind of stopped using it.
Yeah. Hey, while we're on this topic, one more thing and then I'll let the live folks go. I'll let you go as well. When you think about your go-to home automation or smart device you just couldn't live without, what is it for you? What do you have what's just your favorite thing that you have?
So we're all tech geeks. We have so many. That's the problem. We have so many.
It's hard.
You know how many times I've like gone on vacation, or I don't want to say vacation, but like gone on a plane, whether it's like a work trip or a personal trip, or, and I'm like, oh my God, did I turn up the temperature in the apartment? Yeah. That way I'm not spending an extra $500 this month, you know? And for me, I probably would say that's one of the biggest. That's the biggest. Because I live, I would say that's the biggest, because that's like, you're looking more for like cost savings, and that's a heavy cost saving is electricity with air conditioner. So
especially in Miami, right? I mean, where you can't burn gas, like in the Midwest, we burn gas to heat the place. In Miami, you can't burn gas to cool the place down, right? I mean, I guess you could in some ways.
But, yeah. And also, I don't live in a home here. You know, in New Jersey, I lived in a home. It's very common. Everybody lives in a home. Here, there's skyscrapers. Right. So you can't even put, from the sun, the solar panels. You can't even put solar. Yeah,
no.
So you're spending so much money every month on electricity. So,
but God, solar in Miami would be, do you think that'd be like, are people taking advantage of open spaces for solar? Is it, or does it rain too much?
It doesn't matter.
Just been in Panama. I was in Panama when I was in the military. I was down there, and it rained every day. And so, you know, every day at 3 o'clock, it starts raining, and that's the prime solar time.
But right? It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I mean, the sun still, like, if I'm not mistaken, the sun can still shine through the clouds. It's just not as strong.
Yeah, not as strong. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know who's like the most brilliant people? The Israelis. They have like solar farms on the water or something. Yeah, you know, like they come up with like,
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in California, my home state, they're starting to put solar panels on top of the aqueducts, right?
Genius. So, brilliant.
You know, moving. Yeah, you would think they lose, you know, something like 50 billion gallons of water a year to evaporation. Something crazy like that, right? It's probably too big, but you know what I mean.
I get it.
And so if they put these aqueducts, they don't have anything over them. They don't have trees on the side of them. They're out in broad daylight, right? And so they're starting to put solar panel roofs over the aqueducts. It's kind of brilliant. You know, I just recently put solar panels out in front on our deck. Our front deck faces south, and it just gets blistered. Yeah. And so it's like, why don't I not have some panels? Now, in Nebraska, solar is not popular because why? We make ethanol.
Yeah.
Right? We're the ethanol state.
Yeah.
And so there are people like, why would you do solar? So I didn't put it on the roof, but I put them out on the porch. They look nice what I have found, man, in the winter, in Nebraska is brutal. Like we have more cloudy days than we have sunny days. And it does matter. It does matter from an energy production standpoint.
Yeah.
And it goes way down in the clouds.
Yeah.
And
a lot.
So, but I would think Miami would be a great spot to be able to do that, but you can't in an apartment, or you're in a high rise or a condo or whatever. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if I was the developer of the condo, I would put it on the top ceiling. And at least your maintenance, your HOA fees would go down every month. You know, I would do something like that. It's wasted space. But yeah.
Uncle Marv, who I was telling you out in Orlando, this is Uncle Marv. He says FPL doesn't really allow it here in Florida. They've built their own solar farms, right? So they can make the money. We OPPD, our power company here in Omaha, publicly owned, actually, I think one of the best public power companies in the state. But they too have put up their own solar farms, but you can buy into them, which I think is super cool. So I can buy a share and then I get a discount off of my electrical rate for helping support the farm. And so pretty cool, like one of those kind of things where I can participate in solar through my power company, but then I can also do my own power if I want to, you know, my own solar power if I want to as well. Yeah,
that's cool.
You still supporting the Tesla? Did you? You said you bought the Tesla.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. So I actually have. By the way, I didn't know that about FPL. I forgot who said it, but I didn't know that.
Uncle Marv. Yeah.
But yeah, I still have my Tesla, and I have a silver, a light silver.
Nice.
And it's my car is a June 2018 car, and the silver car, I mean, there's so few out there because they only ran it for, I think, like 3 or 4 months. So there's very, very few silvers out there. But like, my car still looks new.
You've had it for a long time. Looks new. Of course, Miami's easy. I mean, you're in Florida, so not if you were in Nebraska, it'd be rusty. But do you find, I mean, how many miles do you have on it, and any maintenance issues with it?
So I don't have a lot of miles. I have about 80,000 miles. So it's about 10,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
I'm averaging out.
Okay.
My biggest expense with the car are the tires. The tires.
Yeah.
I'm replacing them once every year. I'm getting Yeah.
Listen, the torque on an electrical engine is significantly different than on a, right? Is that contributing to the tire, or is it the hot roads of Miami?
I mean, it's that plus the weight. I was actually living in New Jersey and New York for like the first 2-3 years that I had the car. And then I brought it out here. I think it's BS. Like, because these tires are rated, right? They rate with a warranty on these tires. And my tires, they were saying like, you should be getting 55,000 miles on this thing. And I was getting 13,000, and then it was like 232s. But I'll tell you this.
Wow.
Yeah. What I did was I went back to the company, to the warranty, to like the tire Michelin, and they have a phenomenal warranty program. Yeah. Like, if you have tires, I'm telling all the viewers, I called them up and I said, hey, I'm supposed to get rated 55,000 on these, and I got 13,000, and they tell you to go to like a tire store, and they give you money back. That way you buy their tires again.
Yeah, right.
But you're not paying 100%. You could be paying 50% or whatever percentage they're giving you off.
Yeah. Maybe a good concept for you as you're thinking about, the next version of the safe. And as folks are like, hey, I like the second version. How do I trade this in? Some kind of thing along those lines. Because I imagine, right? I mean, these kinds of products, it's not like you're out slinging them around in the yard. It's not like a robot lawnmower or a robot vacuum cleaner. It's sitting on a counter.
Yeah, it's on a desk.
Being well taken care of.
Yeah.
Right. And so your odds of it being damaged or really worn are probably pretty low from that perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I probably go in my safe once a week. I have a safe for myself, and then like safes that I'm constantly testing. But the safe for myself has my passport, my cash. I think I go in there once a week,
Yeah. No, right on. It's a low, I would say low touch, but you're not mowing your lawn with it.
Yeah.
You're not. Yeah. This is
for the
area
home,
we talk a lot about robot lawnmowers, and we talk a lot about robot vacuum cleaners. And those things, they're running all the time. And you're spending a premium amount for a robot lawnmower that's going to only last 3 years in some cases, maybe five.
That's
if
so
you're
sad.
Lucky, right?
That's
where
so sad.
If I buy a push mower, if I go old school push mower, gasoline, I could get 15 years out of one of those things and spend $600.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to spend three times that on a robot.
Yeah, but time is money also for some people.
True.
Right.
Sure.
So
totally true.
So
totally.
It could be worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So sure. The other thing, I want to go back to the Tesla thing real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
My battery is at 83% as of 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Also, the rated mileage is fake, from the beginning.
Fake
right?
bad or fake good?
Fake horrible, right? It'll say 300 miles, but you have to take into consideration about a 20 to 25% loss on when you finish your drive. So it's not real, And my brother had two Teslas, and now he has the Escalade, electric Escalade. And he was telling me, it says 500 miles, you are getting 500 miles.
Oh.
Which is kind of crazy if you think of it. Like, what's Tesla doing?
Yeah. Yeah, if you bet, I bet if you bought a new Tesla, it would be different.
It's not. My really? Friend just bought a Tesla like a month ago. And I asked him that question specifically, and he said he has like a 15% loss or something.
Okay.
Wow. Again.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the listeners of the show, Ed Sullivan, had bought the Cadillac version of their EV, and the name is escaping me now, but he really likes it. And it's comfortable. It's built well. It's built like a car, like we expect. You know, now the interior is not bad on a Tesla, but it's not luxury like a Cadillac. Right. When you take a Cadillac, right. This is an interesting space. I mean, certainly we've backed up a little bit, 2 years ago, maybe three, it looked like we were going to go all electric. That was all we were headed that way. And there was no coming back until there was. Right. And we've pulled back from all that. And it's kind of, it's kind of interesting to see where we'll go from this. And actually, I don't think this is bad for the EV industry to be checked on this a little bit and then have competition in the space against gas vehicles.
I'll tell you this, the Escalade and Chevy, and there's another company they own also, that they all have this horrible UI. You can't use it. I rented one of those cars for a week.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even want to touch the thing. You know, it's like, it's too annoying. It's too complicated. It's too like 1999.
It feels fake, doesn't it?
Like, it feels so crappy.
Is this
UI
that's in a movie? You know how movie UIs are terrible or they're fake? You know, in every movie, every UI you've ever seen is just written for the movie. And you're like, yeah, this is fake. And you get in some of those vehicles and you're like, this is a movie UI. Like, I can't, this isn't functional. This doesn't actually work, the way it's supposed to. The Tesla UI is amazing. Like, I mean, I don't know, you run it every day. I don't.
I see things and I'm like, why don't they have this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so for me, yeah. It's a great UI, and it's very, the thing I love about the UI is it's very quick, right? Yeah. And so when I was in China 2 years ago and I saw all the EVs there, the UIs were like so clunky and slow. And the Tesla one is very quick. It responds very good responsive.
It's almost like the software was written first and then the car came along behind it, right?
Well, they're a tech company before a hardware company.
No, right on. No, right on. So, Oscar, hang tight for me 1 second. You're going to run out of battery here in a second.
I plugged in.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. Let me let the live folks go. I want to chat with you, Oscar, off for just a second. But for folks who stayed live, I don't know if this part will make the live one or not. You'll have to tune in to find out. But guys who joined us live, thanks for coming out. We'll see you guys next week. Take care, everybody.
Thanks.
Geeks, where the screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.